do Shiva. 44.
4. White Tea has been privileged to watch many a young Clint plant his sweet face in an empty Burbclave pool during an unauthorized night run, but always on a skateboard, never, ever in a car. The landscape of the suburban night has much weird beauty if you just look. Back on the paddle again. It rolls across the yard on a set of Radic-KS Mark IV smart wheels. She upgraded to said magical sprockets after the following ad appeared in Thrasher magazine. Chiseled spam is what you will see in the mirror if you surf on a weak plank with dumb fixed wheels and interface with a muffler, retread, snow turd, roadkill, drive shaft, railroad tie, or unconscious pedestrian. If you think this is unlikely, you've been surfing too many ghost malls. All of these obstacles and more were recently observed on a 1 mile stretch of the New Jersey Turnpike. Any surfer who tried to groove that vard on a stock plank would have been sneezing brains. Don't listen to so-called purists who claim any obstacle can be jumped. Professional couriers know, if you have pooned a vehicle moving fast enough for fun and profit, your reaction time is cut to tenths of a second, even less if you are way spooled. Buy a set of Radic-KS Mark II smart wheels. It's cheaper than a total face retread and a lot more fun. Smart wheels use sonar, laser range finding, and millimeter wave radar to identify mufflers and other debris before you even get honed about them. Don't get miticized. Upgrade today. These were words of wisdom. YT bought the wheels. Each one consists of a hub with many stout spokes. Each spoke telescopes in 5 sections. On the end is a squat foot, rubber tread on the bottom, swiveling on a ball joint. As the wheels roll, the feet plant themselves one at a time, almost glomming into one continuous tire. If you surf over a bump, the spokes retract to pass over it. If you surf over a chuck hole, the roboprongs plumb its asphalty depths. Either way, the shock is thereby absorbed. No thuds, smacks, vibrations, or clunks will make their way into the plank or the converse high tops with which you tread it. The ad was right. You cannot be a professional road surfer without smart wheels. Prompt delivery of the pizza will be a trivial matter. She glides from the dewy turf over the lip of the driveway without a bump, picks up speed on the crete, surfs down its slope into the street. A twitch of the butt reorients the plank. Now she is cruising down Homedale Mews looking for a victim. A black car, alive with nasty lights, winds past her the other way, closing in on the hapless hero protagonist. Her Radic-KS night vision goggles darken strategically to cut the noxious glaring of same. Her pupils feel safe to remain wide open, scanning the road for signs of movement. The swimming pool was at the crest of this burbclave. It's downhill from here, but not downhill enough. Half a block away, on a side street, a bimbo box, a minivan, grinds its 4 pathetic cylinders into action. She sees it catter-corner from her present coordinates. The white backup lights flash instantly as the driver shifts into D by way of R and N. YT aims herself at the curb, hits it at a fast-running velocity. The spokes of the smart wheel see it coming and retract in the right way so that she glides from street to lawn without a hitch. Across the lawn, the feet leave a trail of hexagonal pad marks. A stray dog turd, red with meaty, undigestible food coloring, is embossed with the Radic-KS logo. A mirror image of which is printed on the tread of each spoke. The bimbo box is pulling away from the curb across the street. Squirrely scrubbing noises squirm from its sidewalls as they grind against the curb. We are in the burbs, where it is better to take 1,000 clicks off the lifespan of your good ears by invariably grinding them up against curbs than to risk social ostracism and outbreaks of mass hysteria by parking several inches away, out in the middle of the street. That's okay, Mom. I can walk to the curb from here. A menace to traffic. A deadly obstacle to uncertain young bicyclists. YT has pressed the release button on her Poon's reel handle unit, allowing a meter of cord to unwind. She whips it up and around her head like a bolo on the Austral Range. She is about to lambada this trite conveyance. The head of the Poon, salad bowl size, whistles as it orbits around. This is unnecessary, but sounds cool. Pooning a bimbo box takes more skill than a pet would ever imagine. Because of their very road unworthiness, their congenital lack of steel or other ferrous matter for the magna poon to bite down on. Now they have superconducting poons that stick to aluminum bodywork by inducing eddy currents in the actual flesh of the car, turning it into an unwilling electromagnet. But YT doesn't have one of these. They are the trademark of the hardcore Burbclave surfer, which, despite this evening's entertainment, she is not. Her poon will only stick to steel, iron, or slightly to nickel. The only steel in a bimbo box of this make is in the frame. She makes a low-slung approach. Her poon's orbital plane is nearly vertical. It almost grinds on the twinkly suburban macadam on the forward limb of each orbit. When she pounds the release button, it takes off from an altitude of about 1 centimeter, angling slightly upward, across the street, under the floor of the bimbo box, and sucks steel. It's a solid hit, as solid as you can get on this nebula of air, upholstery, paint, and marketing known as the family minivan. The reaction is instantaneous, quick-witted by Burb standards. This person wants YT gone. The van takes off like a hormone-pumped bull who has just been nailed in the ass by the barbed probe of a picador. It's not Mom at the wheel. It's young Studley, the teenaged boy, who, like every other boy in this Burbclave, has been taking intravenous shots of horse testosterone every afternoon in the high school locker room since he was 14 years old. Now he's bulky, stupid, thoroughly predictable. He steers erratically, artificially pumped muscles not fully under his control. The molded, leather-grained, maroon-colored steering wheel smells like his mother's hand lotion. This drives him into a rage. The bimbo box surges and slows, because he is pumping the gas pedal, because holding it to the floor doesn't seem to have any effect. He wants this car to be like his muscles, more power than he knows what to do with. Instead, it hampers him. As a compromise, he hits the button that says power. Another button that says economy pops out and goes dead, reminding him, like an educational demonstration, that the two are mutually exclusive. The van's tiny engine downshifts, which makes it feel more powerful. He holds his foot steady on the gas and, making the run down Cottage Heights Road, the minivan's speed approaches 100 kilometers. Approaching the terminus of Cottage Heights Road, where it tees into Bellwood Valley Road, he espies a fire hydrant. TMAWH fire hydrants are numerous for safety and highly designed for property values, not the squat iron things imprinted with the name of some godforsaken Industrial Revolution foundry and furry from 100 variously flaked layers of cheap city paint. They are brass, robot-polished every Thursday morning, dignified pipes rising straight up from the perfect chemically-induced turf of the Burbclave lawns, flaring out to present potential firefighters with a menu of 3 possible hose connections. They were designed on a computer screen by the same aesthetes who designed the Dinah Victorian houses and the tasteful mailboxes and the immense marble street signs that sit at each intersection like headstones. Designed on a computer screen, but with an eye toward the elegance of things past and forgotten about. Fire hydrants that tasteful people are proud to have on their front lawns. Fire hydrants that the real estate people don't feel the need to airbrush out of pictures. This fucking courier is about to die, knotted around one of those fire hydrants. Studley, the testosterone boy, will see to it. It is a maneuver he has witnessed on television, which tells no lies. A trick he has practiced many times in his head. Building up maximum speed on Cottage Heights, he will yank the handbrake while swinging the wheel. The ass end of the minivan will snap around. The pesky courier will be cracked like a whip at the end of her unbreakable cable. Into the fire hydrant she will go. Studley, the teenager, will be victorious, free to cruise in triumph down Bellwood Valley and out into the greater world of adult men in cool cars, free to go return his overdue videotape, Raft Warriors 4, The Final Battle. YT does not know any of this for a fact, but she suspects it. None of this is real. It is her reconstruction of the psychological environment inside of that bimbo box. She sees the hydrant coming a mile away, sees Studley reaching down to rest one hand on the parking brake. It is all so obvious. She feels sorry for Studley and his ilk. She reels out, gives herself lots of slack. He whips the wheel, jerks the brake. The minivan goes sideways, overshooting its mark, and doesn't quite snap her around the way he wanted. She has to help it. As its ass is rotating around, she reels in hard, converting that gift of angular momentum into forward velocity, and ends up shooting right past the van, going well over a mile a minute. She is headed for a marble gravestone that says, Bellwood Valley Road. She leans away from it, leans into a vicious turn. Her spokes grip the pavement and push her away from that gravestone. She can touch the pavement with one hand. She is heeled over so hard. The spokes push her onto the desired street. Meanwhile, she has clicked off the electromagnetic force that held her poon to the van. The poon head comes loose, caroms off the pavement behind her, as it is automatically reeled in to reunite with the handle. She is headed straight for the exit of the Burbclave at fantastic speed. Behind her, an explosive crash sounds, resonating in her gut as the minivan slides sideways into the gravestone. She ducks under the security gate and plunges into traffic on Oahu. She cuts between two veering, blaring, and screeching BMWs. BMW drivers take evasive action at the drop of a hat, emulating the drivers in the BMW advertisements. This is how they convince themselves they didn't get ripped off. She drops into a fetal position to pass underneath a semi headed for the Jersey barrier in the median strip like she's going to die, but Jersey barriers are easy for the smart wheels. That lower limb of the barrier has such a nice bank to it, like they designed it for road surfers. She rides halfway up the barrier, angles gently back down to the lane for a smooth landing, and she's in traffic. There's a car right there, and she doesn't even have to throw the poon, just reaches out and plants it right on the lid of the trunk. This driver's resigned to his fate, doesn't care, doesn't hassle her. He takes her as far as the entrance to the next Burbclave, which is a white columns. Very southern, traditional, one of the apartheid Burbclaves. Big ornate sign above the main gate. White people only. Non-Caucasians must be processed. She's got a White Columns visa. YT has a visa to everywhere. It's right there on her chest, a little barcode. A laser scans it as she careens toward the entrance and the immigration gate swings open for her. It's an ornate ironwork number, but harried White Columns residents don't have time to sit idling at the Burbclave entrance watching the gate slowly roll aside in Old South majestic turpitude. So it's mounted on some kind of electromagnetic railgun. She is gliding down the antebellum tree-lined lanes of White Columns, one microplantation after another, still coasting on the residual kinetic energy boost that originated in the fuel in Studley the teenager's gas tank. The world is full of power and energy, and a person can go far by just skimming off a tiny bit of it. The LEDs on the pizza box say 2932. And the guy who ordered it, Mr. Pudgley and his neighbors, the Pinkharts and the Roundass Clan, are all gathered on the front lawn of their microplantation, prematurely celebrating. Like they had just bought the winning lottery ticket. From their front door, they have a clear view all the way down to Oahu Road, and they can see that nothing is on its way that looks like a Cosa Nostra delivery car. Oh, there is curiosity, sniffing interest, at this courier with the big square thing under her arm. Maybe a portfolio, a new ad layout for some Caucasian supremacist marketing honcho in the next plat over, but the Pudgleys and the Pinkharts and the Round Asses are all staring at her, slack-jawed. She has just enough residual energy to swing into their driveway. Her momentum carries her to the top. She stops next to Mr. Pudgley's Acura and Mrs. Pudgley's bimbo box and steps off her plank. The spokes, noting her departure, even themselves out, plant themselves on the top of the driveway, refuse to roll backward. A blinding light from the heaven shines down upon them. Her night visions keep her from being blinded, but the customers bend their knees and hunch their shoulders as though the light were heavy. The men hold their hairy forearms up against their brows, swivel their great tubular bodies to and fro, trying to find the source of the illumination, muttering clipped notations to each other, brief theories about its source, fully in control of the unknown phenomenon. The women coo and flutter. Because of the magical influence of the night visions, YT can still see the LEDs, 2954. And that's what it says when she drops the pizza on Mr. Pudgley's wingtips. The mystery light goes off. The others are still blinded, but YT sees into the night with her night visions, sees all the way into near infrared, and she sees the source of it, a double-bladed stealth helicopter 30 feet above the neighbor's house. It is tastefully black and unadorned, not a news crew, though another helicopter, an old-fashioned audible one, brightly festooned with up-to-the-minute logos, is thumping and whacking its way across White Column's airspace at this very moment, goosing the plantations with its own spotlight, hoping to be the first to obtain this major scoop. A pizza was delivered late tonight. Film at 11. Later, our personality journalist speculates on where Uncle Enzo will stay when he makes his compulsory trip to our standard metropolitan statistical area. But the black chopper is running dark, would be nearly invisible if not for the infrared trail coming out of its twin turbojets. It is a mafia chopper, and all they wanted to do was to record the event on videotape so that Mr. Pudgley would not have a leg to hop around on in court. Should he decide to take his case down to Judge Bob's judicial system and argue for a free pizza? One more thing. There's a lot of shit in the air tonight. A few megatons of topsoil blowing down from Fresno. And so when the laser beam comes on, it is startlingly visible. A tiny geometric line. A million blazing red grains strung on a fiber optic thread, snapping into life instantly between the chopper and YT's chest. It appears to widen into a narrow fan, an acute triangle of red light, whose base encompasses all of YT's torso. It takes half a second. They are scanning the many barcodes mounted on her chest. They are finding out who she is. The mafia now knows everything about YT, where she lives, what she does, her eye color, credit record, ancestry, and blood type. That done, the chopper tilts and vanishes into the night, like a hockey puck sliding into a bowl of India ink. Mr. Pudgley is saying something, making a joke about how close they came. The others eke out a laugh, but YT cannot hear them because they are buried under the thunder whack of the news chopper, then flash-frozen and crystallized under its spotlight. The night air is full of bugs, and now YT can see all of them, swirling in mysterious formations, hitching rides on people and on currents of air. There is one on her wrist, but she doesn't slap at it. The spotlight lingers for a minute. The broad square of the pizza box bearing the Cosa Nostra logo is mute testimony. They hover, shoot a little tape, just in case. YT is bored. She gets on her plank. The wheels blossom and become circular. She guides a tight, wobbly course around the cars, coasts down into the street. The spotlight follows her for a moment, maybe picking up some stock footage. Videotape is cheap. You never know when something will be useful, so you might as well videotape it. People make their living that way. People in the intel business. People like Hero Protagonist. They just know stuff, or they just go around and videotape stuff. They put it in the library. When people want to know the particular things that they know or watch their videotapes, they pay them money and check it out of the library or just buy it outright. This is a weird racket, but YT likes the idea of it. Usually the CIC won't pay any attention to a courier, but apparently Hero has a deal with them. Maybe she can make a deal with Hero, because YT knows a lot of interesting little things. One little thing she knows is that the mafia owes her a favor.